So one of the biggest earnings reports to come so far this week has been Tesla, and that came last night. Now I want to bring on a very special guest, Rob Maurer, a host of Tesla Daily and an investor in Tesla. Now, Rob, I want to start by discussing Tesla's overall earnings, which did beat Wall Street expectations and revenue was up 74% from a year ago. Can Tesla keep this momentum going?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think what we're seeing a little bit with the sell-off today is probably a lot of excitement that tends to build into earnings. And then when there's no, you know, massive surprise or something like that, although Tesla did beat, they were driven a little bit by some one-time items. When there's no massive surprise or updated guidance or something like that, investors kind of move on to the next thing. But for investors that are willing to take a long-term view on Tesla, which most people should be, this is a really, you know, decade-long growth story as we've talked about. I think, you know, there's a lot to be excited about from the earnings report yesterday.
Rob, how much money did they really make after back out the credits and back out Bitcoin?
Yeah, so they reported a non-GAAP net income of just over $1 billion. Half of that was regulatory credits, so about $500 million there. And then $100 million came from the sale of Bitcoin. So Tesla in Q1 acquired about $1.5 billion in Bitcoin. They sold about 10% of their stake, somewhere around 50% profit on that sale. For about $100 million there. So backing out those things, you know, they earned about $400 million, but on a non-GAAP basis. On a GAAP basis, they did still, you know, technically, if you back out the regulatory credits, they did still have a loss. But that's not a great way to look at it. Tesla has super high stock-based compensation right now because of Elon Musk's CEO compensation plan. $300 million of their stock-based compensation this quarter was because of Musk's plan. That's not going to continue. There's only about $700 million left in total on the plan yet to be recognized. So if Tesla continues the pace that they were at in Q1, that's only going to continue for a couple more quarters. And I think over the next few quarters, we're going to see that decline anyway, as it's just going to take a little bit longer for the rest of that to be recognized.
Do you think the people know that? Because I'm wondering whether that's the reason why the stock is down.
Yeah, I think people look at it and they see the regulatory credits that gets all the attention of, you know, oh, Tesla's still not profitable on a GAAP basis without regulatory credit sales. But no one factors in these other one-time things. It's kind of like we pick one cherry, but not the rest of them. So, yeah, I don't think people are thinking about the stock-based compensation. They're not looking at deferred revenue. Tesla's not able to recognize all their revenue and all their profit on the sale of their full self-driving option quite yet. So as they deliver more and more features, they're going to be able to recognize more of that deferred revenue. That's going to come back into the earnings and also improve their margins going forward, which margins I would love to talk about because they were actually really, really strong this quarter.
Well, that's great. I needed that. I needed to hear that because I feel like that when you look at it, it looks like they made almost nothing. And what you present makes me feel better. I mean, I did not I liked the quarter on the top line and didn't like it on the bottom line. But you've explained a lot to me, and I really appreciate it. Catherine?
So, Jim, why did you like it on the top line and not on the bottom line? And then, Rob, I do want to talk a little bit about the margins.
The sales are blowout. I mean, it's extraordinary sales. And I just wanted to be sure that they can make a lot of money when they do extraordinary sales. And he's saying he's going to be able to beat Toyota next year. And in some ways, I wish he hadn't done that, Rob, because I don't want him to set himself up. You know, this was a call where I felt there was a little too much bravado. And maybe it's because he's going to be on Saturday Night Live on Saturday. I felt that there was a level of being upbeat that he wasn't upbeat at the top because he obviously was constrained by shortage of chips. But, Rob, I've got to tell you that you got to go when you come into Saturday Night Live, you got to come in hot. And while I really loved how the sales, I was concerned that so much, you know, I didn't like to see the Bitcoin sale, but Bitcoin is up very high, and I sold some Bitcoin, and the stock based compensation confused me, and you straightened me out.
Sure. So yeah, on the margin point then, Catherine, let's see how that kind of works down the bottom line. So Tesla reported an X credit. So let's just, you know, set regulatory credits aside. I think that's totally fine. That's going to continue to come in and people are going to continue to be surprised by it and complain about it. But that's cash that Tesla gets to reinvest in their business. It's great for their business. But setting that aside, looking at the gross margin, X credits, they reported it at a 22.0%. That was up 130 basis points from Q4. So they had sequential growth there, despite the fact that they didn't have any sales on Model S and Model X, but they had very minimal sales on Model S and X. as they refresh those vehicles, get production up and running. So despite not having their highest margin product for sale during the quarter, they still reported a sequential increase in gross margin. So that shows the strength in margins for Model 3 and Model Y, and continues to show that Tesla is working their costs down over time, which is great for the long-term outlook, as I said at the top. So that's really impressive. The other one-time item here, again, to the cherry-picking comment, they reported that there were $200 million roughly of expenses that they had to recognize because of the SNX production restart. And they said the majority of that went to cost of goods sold. So if we assume that's $150 million and we, you know, bake that out as a one-time expense, that means their ex-credit gross margin was actually about 23.8%, which would have been a 310 basis point sequential improvement from Q4, again, without having the benefit of those higher margin sales from SNX. So, you know, if we look out to Q2, Q3, Q4, we're going to see some of these one-time expenses be reduced and Tesla's actual natural margin strength start to show through as we see less impact from things like stock-based compensation. Operating leverage should improve. So that's why I say there's a lot to be excited about. It just takes a little bit of digging to kind of understand those things as they go forward.
I want to hit on Bitcoin because we've mentioned it so far, but obviously this is a big deal, especially for crypto Twitter, who was less than pleased to see Tesla kind of sell 10% of their stake after just getting this $1.5 billion position in Bitcoin. So what do you make of this selling of the 10% stake? And does this kind of show that the Bitcoin bet is paying off in the long term for them?
Well, you know, I was talking to my writing partner and friend, Matt Horween, who said that was one of the best things he did. How could you not sell some? And I agree. I mean, I think that a hit like that for what was basically a cash position is really terrific. And he did say, listen, we're going to do more. We're going to transact in Bitcoin. But as someone who believes that when you have a triple, you got to take some off. I thought that was his wisest move. Rob, you know, anything, as you were saying about the tax credits, look, if you can take money from a sale and build more cars in an efficient way, that's a big win.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Tesla, they're still long-term committed to Bitcoin. You know, Zach Kirkhorn, their CFO on the call, said they're still, you know, very excited about their investment. They still plan to hold Bitcoin long-term. Tesla's now started taking Bitcoin as a purchase option for their vehicles. So they're, you know, they're as invested as in this as any other company. You know, MicroStrategy probably the exception there, but they're still bullish on Bitcoin. They talked a lot about that. They said that the sale was really to test the liquidity and make sure that, you know, the liquidity in the market during sale was there for them in case they do need to eventually liquidate their position, because one of the theses behind investing in Bitcoin for Tesla was to be able to have something, have their cash somewhere that's liquid, but still offer a good place for some amount of return. So yeah, they're still bullish on Bitcoin. You know, no one on crypto Twitter likes to see a sale, but it's a pretty small amount for their overall stake.
Yeah, I mean, people have to recognize, and I'm doing a piece about this for real money. This is not a religion, okay? Hey, crypto is not a religion. I mean, here's Musk. And he's looking at how much he's made off of crypto. And he says, you know what? I'll take some off the table here. It's a huge win. I mean, he's a very smart man. And I am sure he didn't sell any personally. But I think he was basically saying, you know, well, look, I'm not going to – I got very lucky here when I came in. And let's take some off the table and let's be prudent. And I that was of the things that he did this quarter, that was the thing I was most proud of. I think he really got that right. In the conference call, what I didn't like when he called me, you know, he called me a simulation 7 years ago, when I questioned the idea that there would be this one solar panel area that was gigantic, that would, at that point it was in Colorado, that would make it so that that's all the energy we need and you didn't need the rest of all these different power plants. And Rob, that has not come true. The robo-taxis, million robo-taxis hasn't come through. I just want to be sure that what is coming through is a profitable car company. And I think it's going to – I don't know if it can make the most cars next year, sell the most cars next year like beat Toyota. But I don't know. Well, tell me, Rob, why does he set himself up like this? Why does he set himself up? Does he have something up his sleeve in terms of cars for next year that would make it so the challenge for Toyota against Toyota can be met?
So real quick on the Toyota point, then we can talk to you about the solar, you know, his interest there and his claims in the past. So on Toyota, just to clarify, he is saying that he expects that over time, the Model Y as an individual vehicle should be able to outsell the highest selling vehicle. So that's the Toyota Corolla, somewhere around, you know, 1.2, 1.5 million. So he's not saying Tesla's overall volume is going to eclipse Toyota's quite yet. Eventually, Tesla does expect to eventually get to like 20 million per year, which would be about double where Toyota's at today. But certainly it's going to take a few more years to get to that level. And then on the, you know, the solar point, I think Elon, you know, he thinks in really long term periods of time, and he wants people to understand what's possible and sell people on getting to that, get people invested, get people excited about the potential of the future. And sometimes that potential takes a long time to come to fruition. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to get there. But over time, if we look at his track record, you know, maybe it's not 100%, but it's pretty, pretty darn good.
Fair enough.
I want to jump in there because one thing that intrigued me about the solar panels is just the amount of people that are upset right now about the price of these roofs and the price increases that they've seen. I mean, I like what you said about the long term, Rob, but I'm wondering right here and right now, is this actually kind of discouraging people from seeing Musk's views?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, you know, anytime you see, so this is on Tesla's solar roof product. They have a couple solar products. One is a solar roof, so that's like an integrated solar shingle, essentially. Then they have rooftop solar, so that's more traditional. So they increased their price on their solar roof product, so the integrated shingle, which is a very unique product. I think Dow tried to do that maybe 5-10 years ago and exited the business. So Tesla's really the only one in this game right now. And, you know, they're trying to make it a viable product. Unfortunately, they've had some issues in terms of installation, roof complexity, and that's caused them to have to raise the price, which, yeah, as you said, it's super discouraging for investors, for customers, probably for the company themselves. But they continue to believe that long term this is a viable product and that there are problems here that they can solve over time. Unfortunately, you know, we never like to see this as investors. Unfortunately, it's just going to take a little bit more time.
And then I just want to wrap because we only have a few minutes left, but I do want to bring up the fact that Tesla hasn't quite been hit by the semiconductor shortage as much as we've seen GM and Ford, for example. And I bring this up, Jim, because Action Alerts Plus has a position in Ford. What do you make of the fact that they haven't really been under pressure from this shortage?
Well, I'm not sure that's the case, Catherine. I mean, at the beginning of the conference call, he said that they had been hurt badly and suggested that they would have sold a lot more cars made if it weren't for the shortage. I think that he is a very adept player, and I was surprised that he brought it up as something that really hurt him, because I know Ford and GM did, but I thought that Tesla wasn't going to be impacted, or at least be impacted less. And Rob, I was a little surprised that at the very top of the call, he mentioned that this thing is hurting him. And I look, there's no way you can avoid it, but I had felt that he had somehow had the vision to know that you needed to double order these chips to get them. And I guess he didn't.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a complex supply chain to navigate right now for Tesla. They did note, though, and this is something that I was actually super impressed with. As you said, they did note that there were supply challenges in the quarter, but I actually got the quote up here. So in the letter, they say, in Q1, we were able to navigate through global chip supply shortage issues, in part by pivoting extremely quickly to new microcontrollers while simultaneously developing firmware for new chips made by new suppliers. So yes, Tesla has been impacted, but I think they've been able to pivot much more quickly than traditional automakers have been able to. So the impact to Tesla, at least in terms of vehicle production, has been lower. Obviously, there are costs associated with, you know, decisions like this that Tesla has to bear. But, you know, they're finding a good return on those pivots in terms of being able to do that and keep production relatively high. This was a record quarter for Tesla. Seasonally, Q1 is generally quite a bit weaker. So I was really happy with the production and delivery numbers in the face of some of these challenges that I think Elon Musk said this was logistically the hardest quarter that they've ever had.
Do you think that he could have sold, say, 100,000 more if there was no shortage?
I don't think so. Tesla's production, you know, all things considered, batteries, vehicles, they're not quite at that level yet. They have production capacity for just over 1 million vehicles right now. Annualizing Q1's rate would have put them at, you know, 720,000 per year. So they could have maybe squeaked out, you know, another 50,000 if they were at max production capacity. But generally you're not, you're going to have some downtime each quarter. It's not 24/7, the entire 92 days of the quarter. So they could have got a little bit more, not 100,000, maybe 20,000. I think we'll see better results in Q2 and Q3 as hopefully some of the supply chain issues get some relief.
Well, I really appreciate this conversation. We do have to head on over to our Action Alerts Plus Daily Rundown show, where Jim and I will be talking about the biggest earnings that the portfolio is watching. And as Jim said at the top of the show, why they bought Eli Lilly based on this quarter. Rob, thank you so much for taking the time to join
us.
I really feel like this really cleared up Tesla's earnings report, which is much to say complex. So I appreciate you taking the time.
That was great. Thank you.